Fired up. Welcome back. We start our second hour. I'm fired up because I said at the very top of the program, I've got enough content for two shows. I'm going to slam it all into one show. Four NCAA tournament coaches joining me today. Welcome back. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up later on this hour, Georgia State head coach Ron Hunter. Next hour, Fairleigh Dickinson head coach Greg Horrenda. Also next hour, the head coach of Montana, Travis DeCure. But as promised, we start hour number two by talking to the head basketball coach at Old Dominion. 2019 Conference USA Coach of the Year. He led Old Dominion to the tournament for the first time since 2011. He has taken three different programs to the NCAA tournament. Old Dominion, 26-8. Conference USA regular season and tournament champs, and they've got a big one tomorrow night. They're going up against Purdue, 9:50 p.m. We are joined right now by Jeff Jones. Jeff, it is so good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
Jeff, I'm doing great. Eager to talk to you. It's been an amazing season for so many reasons, and I want to get to that in a minute. But first, you're about 24 hours away from the school's first NCAA tournament game in 8 years. What's the mood like among the players and your staff right now?
Everybody's excited. I was real pleased. You know, sometimes you worry, you know, after you win your conference tournament, if there's some sort of a letdown and like, okay, we got here and guys aren't as focused. I found out yesterday in practice that our guys are really locked in. We had a terrific practice, great intensity, and I thought that was a good sign because I guess I'm greedy, but, you know, It's not enough just to make the tournament. We want to see if we can, you know, pull off the upset. We respect Purdue. We know they're a really good team. But, you know, we're excited to get a chance to compete against them.
Jeff Jones joining us. I think in part, Jeff, you answered my next question. But I was going to say, you've been to the tournament as a player, as an assistant, and as a head coach. So what is it about the NCAA tournament that makes it so special? And then what is your message to your players about how to approach this experience?
You know, I think in this era especially, everybody that's any kind of a basketball fan at all or basketball player, basketball coach, you've grown up with the NCAA basketball tournament, the big dance, being one of the premier sporting events in the United States. So I think, you know, as you're growing up, there's always that dream of participating and playing in that tournament. And you know, for a group of guys that have never been there before, this is a big deal. It was a big deal getting here, but now that we're on this stage, as I said earlier, you know, we're just excited to have the chance to compete and see if we can keep playing.
Well, Dominion head coach Jeff Jones, my guest. You know, that point you made about the conference tournament, how there's always kind of a concern about you have to exert so much energy to get through that there might be a letdown. When you consider the program being the size that it is and that you're in a conference with teams that you know are going to battle you every single night, and even if you win that regular season title, you still have to win the tournament to get into the tournament. Knowing what's on the line, what's it take from a physical and a mental standpoint just to get here?
Well, it's a grind. There's no question. And you know, the way we did it, we had three really close games. The quarterfinal game against Louisiana Tech, we win at the last second. We win in the last couple seconds in the semifinals against UAB. And then, you know, we win the championship game against Western Kentucky, who we've beaten twice in the regular season. That was almost a blowout. We won that game by six points.
Right.
So you know, it was you know, physically demanding, but I think more than anything emotionally. So that why it was why I was so pleased yesterday after, you know, having essentially a big day off on Sunday and Monday. You know, that they had gotten all of that celebration out of their systems and were really focused.
Hey, Jeff, for those who do not know, when you arrived at Old Dominion, the school was coming off a 5-25 season. You're in the tournament now, that's great, but the school was 5-25. What was it about the opportunity there that made you feel like that was a place where you wanted to be and you could win?
Well, number one, the athletic director at Old Dominion, Wood Selig, is a good friend of mine, and we'd worked together when we were both at Virginia. So I knew about his vision for the program. The Old Dominion program has had a great tradition and quite honestly had really good success, prior to that 5-win season, the bottom just kind of fell out. But I felt like it had great potential, and that this would be an opportunity for me to go to a new place, a new challenge for me, and you know, try to build things back you know, the way they had been and are expected to be at Old Dominion. You know, the first year we were able to turn things around, and we won 13 more games than the year before. Second year we ended up making it to the NIT Final Four in Madison Square Garden. So it didn't take long to get the program back on solid ground.
No, it didn't. Old Dominion head coach Jeff Jones joining us. Jeff, as I mentioned off the top, this has been a remarkable season, and it's also been a very challenging one. In September, you announced that you had a recurrence of prostate cancer. You had been initially diagnosed and treated in 2015, and then learned in 2017 that it had reoccurred. What kind of emotions did you feel when you learned of the reoccurrence?
Shock. You know, I had had surgery, I had had radiation, and things looked good. I was cancer-free for over a year, and then when I found out that it came back, it just kind of hit you. And it wasn't something at that point I didn't want to go public with it. There was just a very small circle of people that knew. But then last summer, I had to start treatment, and I knew with the side effects and everything that goes with the treatment that eventually word would get out. And that's what kind of, I think spurred me to, you know, let it go public. I wanted my players, if they were going to hear, I wanted them to hear it from me. And then if it was going to be public, I wanted to bring, greater awareness, you know, to prostate cancer occurrence, and you know, try to encourage the men out there to get their PSA tested. It's a simple test, and one that can detect the prostate cancer early and allow it to be treated much more effectively.
You know, I want to be very respectful about that, Jeff, and I would imagine that going public with that is not an easy thing to do, but by doing so, there's no telling how many people you might help. Also, with the announcement being made, you made it very clear that neither the cancer nor the treatment was going to affect your performance or your desire to win. What was it like for you, though, when you had to share that news with your players?
You know, I tried. I didn't want to scare them. You know, several of them had already known from the previous years, back in 2015. Our two senior captains, B.J. Stith and Ahmad Caver, you know, they had already known, you know, that I had gone through that part of it. But with the reoccurrence, you know, people hear the word cancer, and all of a sudden, you know, that can spur on all kinds of bad thoughts. And I didn't want to be too emotional, because I didn't want to scare them. And the big thing I wanted them, I wanted to be honest with them, and I wanted to assure them that they were going to get my best, that that this wasn't going to sidetrack me, that it wasn't going to take me away from them, that I was going to give them my very, very best, and that they could count on me regardless of my health situation.
You know, Jeff, it's so true. I've shared the story myself, but my father back in the day was diagnosed with leukemia. And you're right, it's such a terrifying word. And I think a lot of people hear the word cancer and they assume that it's a death sentence, or they don't know what to do, they don't know how to react. So you're right, I could see where you didn't want to share that. In fact, when my dad was diagnosed with leukemia, he and my mother said, "We're not telling anybody." And they didn't for a long, long time. And they also, like you, had a company and they ran a company. So that makes sense to me. Now, one of the things that you said, though, is that the team just fights. The team never makes an excuse. How much is your team a reflection of you? And then how much are you a reflection of your own players?
Jim, that's a great question. I don't know, but there are some similarities, and that's the thing I've been so proud of this year's group. You know, we're a good defensive team. We rebound the basketball really well, but I think the thing that we've done all year long is compete and not blink. We've been in a lot of close games. We've won a bunch of them. And when we get in those situations, it's just kind of like business as usual. And you know, I could probably cite plenty of times where things didn't look good for us, but these guys just kept plugging along and didn't get rattled, didn't get shaken, and you know, we were somehow or another able to pull out a win. So, you know, I'm proud of them. And if I had, you know, something to do with that, then that's great. But it's a great group of kids.
Yeah, Jeff, you've been amazing about sharing your story. If you don't mind, I just want to ask you one more thing, because when I've talked to other men who have battled prostate cancer, they say that the battle is real. It really is a battle. And there are days when you feel awful and the side effects of the treatment are miserable. How do you go about approaching the tough days?
Well, number one, I'm very fortunate, both with the players that I have, and I don't know if they'd notice, but I know I can trust them that they're going to get out there and they're going to do what we need them to do. The second thing is, you know, having my wife Danielle, you know, best friend, confidant, the whole deal, and having that support network, being strong enough, I think, to trust her. And to trust my staff. I have a great staff. I think that's the big thing, that when there are the tough days, you know, not trying to be Superman or anything, but understanding my limitations and trusting those quality, great people around me, that they're going to take care of everything, that I just need to make sure that I, you know, if it's a day that I, you know, I need to get some extra rest or, you know, not come into the office until later on, that I can trust them, and they're gonna help me, they're gonna help the team, and we're all in this together. I think that would be probably the biggest thing.
Jeff Jones, my guest. So finally, knowing that you've got this great challenge ahead of you, you can't wait to get after it, get out there, compete, give it your best shot. But knowing everything that you've gone through and what the team has gone through, I'm kind of curious, the emotions when the confetti fell at the end of the conference tournament and you knew you were going to the NCAA tournament. What was that moment like?
It was just a confluence of a bunch of different emotions and thoughts. Obviously, just pure joy at winning the championship and going to the tournament, watching our players out there dancing around and being so happy, knowing how hard that they had worked. A sense of relief because we've been close, but we haven't been able to cross that threshold. And you know, I know we're a mid-major program, but there's expectations to get to the tournament. So, there was some relief there, and then the emotion, because it has been a challenging year, gone through some tough times, and so after we went down, we shook hands and turned around, the confetti's coming down, and the emotion just kind of hit me, all at once. So I just kind of took a seat on the side and tried to soak it all in. And it was an emotional moment. It wasn't any one emotion, but it was like a combination, a confluence of a lot of different things. And it was a special moment. And I'm glad that I was fortunate enough, blessed enough to be in that position.
What a great, great story. And not finished yet. The 2019 Conference USA Coach of the Year, they are Old Dominion, 26-8, Conference USA regular season and tournament champs. And the next challenge in front of them is Purdue tomorrow night, 9:50 p.m. The head coach, Jeff Jones, our guest. Jeff, so great to have you on the show. I really appreciate you and you taking the time to share your story. Good luck tomorrow night. We'll all be watching.
Thank you, Jim. Enjoyed it. Appreciate it.
Me too, Jeff. I enjoyed that too. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts and your story. ODU is another amazing story. Your thoughts, your reaction to it, 1-800-636-8686. What I'm getting at is there are so many stories that you may not know, coaches you may not know, players you may not know. We're trying to get to as many as possible so you know what you're watching when you sit down to watch it. I think a lot of you probably did not know about him, his backstory, that program, and the team that Purdue is going to play tomorrow night. Now you do. Coming up later on this hour, Ron Hunter, Georgia State head coach. Open segment when we return. I want to reset the podcast I did with Mark Schlereth yesterday. It's amazing. An update on that bowl of soup that J.R. Smith lobbed at an assistant coach. I was starting to think we would never find out exactly what happened that day, but now we know. That's coming up. I've got an appearance in San Diego County again Friday night. Our station down there, 97.3 FM, man. What a great station. What an amazing station. Just bringing me down, doing it again. Spending a lot of time in San Diego these days. And I'll be back there on Friday night, and I will preview that appearance.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Having a great day. Welcome back. Catch every game, every shot, every second of March Madness, Thursday through Sunday on CBS and the Turner Networks. Coverage beginning every day at noon Eastern on CBS. All right, some quick reaction. At WNY Water Cooler tweets, gotta ride the karma. Just penciled ODU into the Sweet 16. At Toneslice 989 tweets, great, Jimmy. Now I have to go back and update all my brackets to account for the inevitable jungle karma for Coach Jones and Old Dominion. Well played. Also, good to see a lot of reaction coming off our podcast, which dropped yesterday. Pimp in the Box, just listened to the latest podcast with Stink. Wow. Amazing insight and great stories about his fellow Idaho Vandal, Marvin Washington, and also Romo. Stink is a complete stud. It was amazing to hear about the kidney stones and the numerous surgeries over the years. Keep up the good work. War Stink and war the Idaho Vandals. Ty from Idaho. Here's another one. Hey, Romy. Awesome podcast with Mark Schlereth yesterday. Being a Broncos fan, I wish I knew him better when he was playing. I love his takes, his commentary, his stories. He's passionate. He's funny. He was a warrior. He's a great family guy. I still laugh at that story on game day when he was so nervous. He had to go to the bathroom, but he couldn't get to one, so he just had to. Anyways, thank you to John Elway for Mark protecting John Elway. Signed, John Elway.
Thank you to John Elway.
We're never having to pass a kidney stone. We're having Romo on a future podcast. Brian in Colorado Springs, currently working here in SoCal. All right, so on that topic, if you love football and you love a dude who can tell a great story, you're going to be all about episode 74 of the Jim Rome podcast, which I dropped yesterday with three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth. Mark Schlereth is as household as it gets. And that's not easy when you spend 12 years playing in the most anonymous position in all sports. But it's a testament to his talent and his massive, massive personality. And whether you follow the guy when he played or you know him from his TV work, there is no denying the it factor. There's no denying this guy's presence and his charisma. And both were on full display during a 45-minute conversation yesterday. Stink and I covered a lot of ground. From his time growing up in Alaska to picking Idaho over Hawaii for college ball to his thoughts on Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. And we spent a chunk of time on the pod talking about exactly what it takes to play in the NFL. Because this is a guy who had 29 different surgeries. And a guy who would do anything possible, anything he had to do just to get on the field on Sunday. And when I say anything, I mean anything.
I had a kidney stone and was just writhing in pain. So we go to the hospital. I'm in the hospital all day long. I cannot pass this kidney stone. It's so large. I'm like in here dying, right? I'm all full of drugs and stuff. So they transfer me to a different hospital because they have to operate on me. So at like 11 o'clock at night, they sling me down into to the surgery center, you know, in this operating room. My feet are up on the stirrups like I'm in a gynecologist's office, right? Every person in that operating room is female, and it's cold in there, you know, so the bits and the pieces are not, I mean, just embarrassing. The anesthesiologist is female. Everybody in there is female. And I'm just like, would you please put me out for this? So they go through your Johnson, into your bladder, through your bladder, up to your ureter, which goes from your kidney down to your bladder, and pull the kidney stones out. So I literally wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning, like to take a piss, I have to have a shot of morphine because it's so painful. It's just, you're pissing needles. And then I check myself out of the hospital at 11 o'clock. I roll down to the stadium. I get dressed and we play the Raiders and beat their ass 28-0.
That is insane. That is an absolutely amazing story. And one of the worst things I've ever heard. If I ever, ever, ever had to endure anything like that, you're not going to see or hear from me for several months. The way he laid that out about having to go up his Johnson. So not only does this guy endure this, like they had to go up in there to pull that stone out. Not only was he seen and heard from again, but he was on the football field the next day for an ass kicking. Less than 24 hours later. This guy's having kidney stones surgically yanked from inside of him, and he's on the field less than 24 hours later, lacing him up to jump in the trenches and beat ass 28-0, quote unquote. Because as Mark told me yesterday, it's not enough to be genetically gifted to play in the NFL. You also have to have a certain level of pure insanity to do it.
To play in the National Football League, I tell people this all the time, you got to win the genetic lottery. You have to genetically, you have to be gifted. And then on top of that, you got to have a I don't give a shit attitude when it comes to what you're willing to put yourself through. The athletic part of it, the genetics part of it, is the smaller part of it. I mean, most of you, like, listening to this podcast, you know, you get the guy that I'd have played if I wouldn't have torn this knee up. No, you wouldn't have. You know why? Because you wouldn't have done it. It doesn't work that way. The majority of people who tell you they would have done it had it not been for coaching or business, no, you wouldn't have. You just wouldn't have, because the majority of people just aren't insane enough to do it.
God, this guy, you got to love this guy. Putting everybody in their place, because I've done this a long time. I've heard that a million times. Oh, I would have been in the show, but coach hated me. Oh, I would have been in the show, but I ripped up my knee. And there's Solaris saying, no, you wouldn't, because you're a bleep. Putting everybody in their place and straight up saying that most people listening to the podcast would not have had it in them to do what's required to do, what you have to do to be on the field every single week. And, you know, that's not him flexing or him fronting. We're talking about a guy who had 29 surgeries. That's a guy who lived it, telling you exactly what it takes to play in the National Football League. And he's right. Most of us wouldn't do it, even if we could, even if we had the ability. There takes a level of insanity to go along with it. Speaking of insanity, I asked Stink about what it was like to play with jungle legend Bill Romanowski. I loved what he had to say, because he revealed a side of Romo that I think a lot of people don't even know exists.
I love Romo. I wouldn't want to pick curtains out with the guy. Like, I don't want to live with him. He's a weirdo, but he's a weirdo in a good way. I can't tell you how many times he knew that I was struggling just to make it to the field on Sundays, and I was struggling with whatever it was, whatever injury I had. And sure enough, it'd be like 6:30 in the evening, right? And all of a sudden, somebody knock on my door, and I open up the door, and it's one of Romo's gurus, you know, his massage therapist, his active release guy. It's whatever his guru of that week was. And the guy'd be like, hey, Bill tells me you're really struggling with something. He sent me over here to work on you for the next hour. It's like he's picking up the tab. He just sent me over here to work on you. And that's the kind of teammate Bill Romanowski was. And forever, I'll have a debt of gratitude for that.
My man, I love hearing that story about Romo. I love Mark Schlereth coming on. That's why you got to invest some time in these podcast episodes. Not money. They're free. They're free. Content like that is free. It's just not content that I can do on this show. Stories and insight for days. Episode 74 with Mark Schlereth is 45 minutes of wall-to-wall stories and insight. We're not laying it up, man. We're putting it out there. We're going hard. Check it out. And look for the part where he talks about the only two guys that he ever got off the bench to watch him play on offense. It's a really fun section of the podcast. Episode 74 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Mark Schlereth. Your voicemails are live right now. Also, get the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. And if you're having trouble finding it, just fire up Google, type in Jim Rome Podcast. It'll pop right up. Fire up Google, type in Jim Rome Podcast, and it'll be right there. When we come back, Georgia State head coach Ron Hunter, Greg Herrenda, top of the hour. Time now for a bottom.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Coming off that soundbite with Mark Schlereth, Chris no longer in St. Pete tweets, quote, had to go through the Johnson are the last six words I ever want to hear. Just knock me the hell out.
They go through your Johnson.
Concur. Coming up the top of the hour, Fairleigh Dickinson head coach Greg Herrenda. We had him on Monday before that game. They fell behind by 13 in the second half last night. They come all the way back. They win. They advance. And when I spoke to him on Monday, he was great. He was amazing. And I said, if you win now, coach, I better be talking to you on Wednesday. He said, you know it. They did, and he'll be back. Top of the hour. Also next hour, Montana head basketball coach Travis DeCuire. We are currently efforting another favorite, Georgia State head basketball coach Ron Hunter. Let me take a moment and talk to you about my appearance on Friday. Back in San Diego County for another live appearance. And we've had a number of them already, and I'm going back to where the jungle started. Now, I don't want to go all regional on everybody who's living outside the area, but very quickly, I want these SoCal area clones to know that I will be in North San Diego County Friday night. I'm going to post up at the center in Escondido. Obviously, I'm always pumped to get back to my second home and the place where the jungle really started. So if you're around the area or you want to make a roadie, you should, because the venue is going to have food and drink and all the March Madness games going on. There will be a golf simulator contest, a separate chance to win tickets to the Rolling Stones in May at the Rose Bowl. My man Daniel Jeremiah, who is a rising star. In fact, he's already a media star. He will be there with me. He's from the NFL Network. He's got his own podcast. And we're going to break down the upcoming NFL draft. Just kind of chop it up, talk some football. My dudes and my fam from 97.3 The Fan in San Diego are going to be there as well. You got a chance to meet DJ, Tony Gwynn Jr., the rest of the crew. Got to think Big Sills will be there. The event is free, but you do need a ticket to get in. It's free, but you need a ticket to get in, and they're running out. Go to my Twitter feed right now. Look for the link that I posted earlier this morning to get those tickets. I would absolutely love to see as many of you as I can on Friday night. So kick it with me if you want. Watch some tournament games. Knock around a few golf balls. Hope to see you there. Go to my Twitter feed. And that would say how to get tickets. As promised, we're joined right now by the head basketball coach at Georgia State. Led Georgia State to the third Sun Belt tournament title in the last 5 years. He is already a March legend. Georgia State, 24-9 this year. They go up against Houston Friday night, 7:20 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Ron Hunter. Ron, it's great to have you back on. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. We're actually on a bus headed to the airport right now.
Man, that's perfect. That is absolutely perfect, because I was going to say, after you beat UT Arlington in New Orleans on Sunday, you said in your press conference, the guys had a drive ahead of you to get back to the campus, and quote, this is about to be the best party bus you have ever seen. We're not going to a restaurant. I canceled it. We're not going to a hotel. I canceled it. We're getting with my team. We're getting with our families. We're getting on a bus. You're going to hear us all around the country. So let me ask you first, what was that ride home like? Like on the bus?
I tell you what, man, it was great. It was a party bus. We had our families on there with all the players, and it was just a great opportunity to just spend time with the team and just us. And so I tell you, we made a five-hour bus ride seem like it was 45 minutes.
Ron Hunter joining us. Now, Ron, the thing is, the televisions on the bus did not get the selection show, so you had to pull off the road in Mississippi to watch the selection show. What kind of a place did you end up at, and what was it like watching the show there?
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy, because 10 minutes before the show, my SID came to me and said, hey, coach, you know, in 10 minutes the show starts. Well, they said we couldn't get CBS on the bus, so I told the bus driver, I said, listen, first opportunity you get, let's just stop. He said, coach, we're in the middle of Mississippi. So we drove, and we got out the first exit. We saw a bar, restaurant, truck stop area, and my guys didn't want to get off the bus, so I got off the bus first, talked to the guy, and there were about eight guys, about 75. We're drinking beer, and we walked in, and, man, it was great for us and great for them.
Ron Hunter joining us. Ron, you cut out for just 1 second. Let me ask you, how many people were in that place when you walked in, and did they know
there
who you were?
Eight guys, probably about between 75 and 85 years old, drinking beer.
Did they have any idea who you guys were?
Have no clue. No clue. I think they thought this was like a hostile takeover. I had all these guys from Atlanta come in at 6'8", 6'9". They thought these guys, we were taking over the bar.
That is great. Ron Hunter joining us. So Devin Mitchell said that while other teams were celebrating Selection Sunday in players' lounges and arenas, the fact that you guys celebrated in a random joint in Mississippi was perfect. He said, quote, it's us. It's always just been us. So how would you describe the attitude and the approach of this year's team, Ron?
Well, you know, we had everybody back from the team a year ago. And last year I thought the kids were just excited to be playing. We played Cincinnati really tough until the last 4 minutes, and we couldn't make a shot. this year, just finished some practice about an hour ago, they're a lot more focused. They want to go and win games. You know, I've got five or six seniors who shoot the ball really well. We beat Georgia. We beat Alabama, so we're not afraid of the moment. The stage won't be too big for us. And so our kids are ready to play. This isn't just about going to the NCAA tournament. We're making this a business trip.
We're talking to Ron Hunter. You know, to that point, you've made going to the tournament a regular thing and pretty much the expectation now at Georgia State. Man, but there's still nothing easy about this. How much pride do you take in the program that you, your staff, and your players have built over the years?
Well, you know, we really have. Before we got here, they had 8 straight losing seasons. And so to be able to go to the NCAA tournament 3 times in 5 years is a lot of hard work. But mostly it has to do with our kids. Our kids have bought into what we wanted to get done. And it is. You know, we got guys in our program. The only thing they know is going to the NCAA tournament. And so the expectations they'll pass down to our young guys, that's how you beat a culture in a program.
We're talking to Ron Hunter. Now, DeMarcus Simons had 27 in last year's conference title game, but only 10 in this year's. That's a huge difference. The difference being you had 5 guys in double figures, 5 starters in double figures. So what's that say about your depth and the balance that you have with this year's team?
Well, that's why I think this year's team is better. Last year, DeMarcus had to really carry us. And even in the NCAA tournament against Cincinnati, he was great, but our other guys really didn't play like capable of they were supposed to play. Now I've got guys, we can really shoot it. We got 5 guys averaging double figures. He's averaging less points, but we're a better team, and he's actually a much better player now than he was a year ago.
Well, of course, Ron, you and the program went legend back in 2015 when your son RJ hit that dagger to beat Baylor. And after that legendary showing in 2015 when you beat them, you were everybody's favorite team. You yourself could have gone elsewhere as a coach, but you decided to stay right where you were. Why was that?
Well, you know, one of the things I think is really important, you know, guys just make jumps for all the wrong reasons. I'm not chasing money. I'm chasing happiness. I love being here. I know at some point I know that there'll be time to go. But at that particular time, it wasn't the time. I wasn't ready in that regard. Just, I'll know if someone offered me a job, if I've got to think about it, I'm not going to take it. It's one of those situations I'd rather be happy than have a lot of money. And so I'm happy right now. And so for me to leave, it'll be a place where I feel like, okay, this is a place I can go and be happy.
What a great take that you're chasing happiness, not money. But then again, I guess on some level, Ron, I can make the argument that you've got the best team in the state of Georgia and you're winning every single year. Is there an argument that why should I go someplace else when I'm killing it right where I am?
Yeah, you know, that's one part of it. But I want the state of Georgia to be good. I want Georgia to be good. I want Georgia Tech to be good. I think it's important for the state of Georgia to have multiple teams in the NCAA tournament. But again, if it's time for me to leave, I'll leave. And I'm serious about this, Jim, that I'll wake up, somebody offer me a job, and I'll say, that's what I want to do. And I'll just do it, especially if I feel like there's nothing more that I could do at Georgia State. But right now, man, I'm having so much fun. Why mess with that for free extra dollars?
Ron Hunter joining us. All right, Ron, so you draw Houston in the first round. You know the deal in the NCAA tournament. Every single team is good. I know you're not going to be intimidated, but how do you go about preparing for a very good, very tough Cougars team?
Well, we have to play our style. You know, we shoot the ball extremely well. If we're making threes, if we're shooting our 3-point shot at a 40% clip, I feel really good about the game because our defense is also pretty good. I know that they get a lot of credit for their defense, but our defense was really good also. And so I think the last message I gave to my guys, be extremely poised and rebound the ball. We do those two things with 3 minutes to go, and it's a one-possession game. I feel like we'll win the game.
Ron Hunter joining us. Now, Ron, in a recent ranking of the coaches in the NCAA tournament and what they were like as players, you came in at 27th. Now, you went to the tournament 3 times as a player at Miami University. You played with Ron Harper. You went up against guys like Len Bias. What do you remember about those trips as a player?
I don't know what I remember, but I was so disappointed at 27, GM, man. I couldn't get in the top 10.
Right.
I was really mad. Matter of fact, you brought it up. I'm mad now that you just said it.
Sorry about that, Ron. Sorry about that. It's like, and the problem is you can't go out there and prove it to somebody right now, right?
No, man. You know, remember, I tore my Achilles. I got an artificial hip, and I got a bad knee.
That is something else. Hey, listen, though, you play with Ron Harper. I haven't talked to Ron in a number of years. He was one of my favorites. Man, I love talking to Ron Harper when he played in the NBA. What was he like to play with, and do you still stay in contact with him?
Oh, yeah, we usually talk about once a week, and, you know, we were friends in high school. We actually went to college together and decided to go play at Miami together. So we've been friends since we've been 15 years old. So I always tell him, you know, he's got 6 championship rings, and he rebounded all of my missed shots, and all of a sudden made him millions. He became an NBA star off my missed jump shots. But that's my guy. He's like a brother to me, and he's actually been at every single one of my NCAA tournament games, and his son's actually playing at Rutgers this year, so I don't know if we get an opportunity to get to Tulsa on this trip.
I love hearing that. I love Harp. He was a good, good player, too. Hey, listen, you're not allowed to fill out an NCAA bracket. You know that. You can't fill the bracket out because of NCAA rules, but you said that if you were going to fill out a fast food bracket, you'd have Chick-fil-A in the title game. Lay it out for me, Ron. Why are they the fast food outlet to beat?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part, Jimmy.
Chick-fil-A in your title game for your fast food bracket. You can't fill out a real bracket, but if you filled out a fast food bracket, do I have that wrong? Chick-fil-A, would they not be in your championship game?
They would definitely be in a Chick-fil-A. They're also an Atlanta brand company. So I had to go with the Atlanta brand company of Chick-fil-A, but they would definitely be in my championship game.
Who do they beat? Who's the runner-up in that game?
That's a good one. Probably, you know what? Wendy's.
Okay, Wendy's. All right, then.
They beat out Wendy's.
Head basketball coach at Georgia State. He led Georgia State to the third Sun Belt tournament title in just 5 years. And as I mentioned already, a March legend and looking to go legend once again. Ron, I appreciate the phone call from the bus. Listen, good luck against Houston, and it's great to have you back on.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it, buddy. Take care.
My man. Take care, Ron. Great talking to you. Y'all remember 2015 when his son RJ hit that dagger that beat Baylor. Remember that? RJ Hunter and his dad. When his dad fell off the stool, you remember that game? You remember that story? In the meantime, he's been to the tournament 3 times in 5 years. You know, I love the answer he had when I said, you know, you could have left at that point. You were everybody's favorite program. Everybody was talking about you. Why didn't you go? And he said, I'm chasing happiness, not money. But then I loved what he said. He said, look, there will come a time where I may leave. There will come a time when if the time is right and the call is right, and then I know that it's time to go, I will. Notice he didn't say something like, he didn't dismiss it as, that's not even a possibility, that would never happen. He made it sound like, yeah, it may be inevitable, but I'll know when the time is right. If I have to talk myself into it, the time's not right. Still getting reaction to Mark Schlereth. Hey, run that back one more time, Alvin. It's so true. Quote, had to go through the Johnson.
They go through your Johnson.
That's a terrible line. It's not just going through it. It's like going through it to get up in there to get the kidney stone. Man, that's brutal. I can't remember the last time somebody said something on this show that just, I mean, it's one thing to say something is cringy. Like, that's cringy. Bad jokes are cringy. That's the epitome of cringy, what he said. Rome, thank God somebody finally said it for what it is. Blaming your lack of success on someone else is so weak. Callen Vegas saying that he would have had a better calling career to the jungle if not for Kyle Brandt hating him. Tyler in Redmonton. It's true. Don't blame it on the screener. Don't blame it on that coach who hated you. Don't blame it on that injury.
You know why? Because you're...
You know why? He said, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be in the NFL. You know why? Because you're a bleep.
You know why? Because you're...
Dear Rome, Romanowski sent a masseuse to Schlereth's room? I would have done it myself. Regards, Brian Giles. Ah, ran out of time. When we come back, my man, Greg Herrenda. Everybody's dude. Greg Herrenda, head coach at Fairleigh Dickinson. He said on this show Monday, Rome, we have to win a game. And then they did. And we talk about it next.
Amen, brother.